You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Sorry, guys, I had something in my throat. So let's talk about Dark. Dark is overly complex, heavily dense German show on Netflix that follows a lot of mystery, almost sort of Twin Peaksy, where there is a young boy named Mikkel who disappears into a cave and maybe time travel is involved. And that's about as much as I can tell you guys about this show outside of spoiling season one and season two, which if you are listening to this review and you have not seen either seasons, I would say to get out of here right now because they're fantastic. And if you are a fan of sci-fi, time travel, or just really well-woven stories, you should be watching this one. But anyways, I'm Nathan, and with me I have Alex.
Hello.
And Lexi.
Hey.
And Alex.
Hello.
And Lexi.
Hey.
And I'm Nathan. That's pretty much how crazy the timelines are as far as trying to keep track who is who. And, you know, you think with this show you need a timeline to go through everything, but you really just need a family tree.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like, I know I come from a pretty large family. I mean, my grandmother, for example, she had like 16 siblings and stuff, so we had a pretty big complex family tree, but not quite as complex as the family tree in this show. Can't really I guess go into too much detail about why it is, but yeah, oh boy.
I mean, I'm the oldest of 10, and this show is, oh my god, I cannot keep track of all of them. Like, it's great though, because eventually once I finish a season, I can just be like, all right, look at the family tree for this season. Okay, that's who that is.
Kind of going into watching this third season here, I still had to kind of like go on and like refresh. I'm just like, okay, I gotta remember who all these characters are again, because it's been a while. even after a few months, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I gotta remember all these characters again. And
it was so difficult watching the first two seasons and trying to keep track of characters and knowing that you couldn't Google it or look them up in any way and not have things ruined for you because you needed it to remain a mystery.
Yeah, me and Alex both binged it with his brother, Patrick, my cousin. Mm-hmm. And we just watch each episode and just like, I can't figure out which character is which, but this is fantastic. It's so well shot too.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, We can go into spoilers for season one and season two, but Lexi, how did you feel this compared to the first two seasons?
Oh, I think it's definitely a little bit different than the first two seasons, which I think is a great thing, honestly. The first season really is quite complex as it is, but like it gets even more complex in season three. And I love that it was kind of building to that. And I think overall, I think the whole thing was just, It felt like it completed itself in a very nice way, like, because the first season does start out kind of a little bit differently compared to this final season, but I think that was obviously intentional, because from what I read about it, they were planning a lot of this ahead of time, of course, so, you know, they didn't go and just being like, oh, okay, we're just gonna try and figure out along the way, like, no, they really did know pretty far in advance, for the most part, on what they were gonna do with it, and you can definitely tell, and And I think I really want to go back and rewatch the show again to kind of like pick up on like the clues they left, you know, that kind of come back and play in the third season and things like that.
It's so dense, you're going to have to, honestly, to fully get enjoyment out of the show.
Oh, totally. I look forward to going back and picking up all the breadcrumbs.
We can get into semi-spoilers for what the setup for season three is, but this season jumps into an alternate reality after mostly being set in a fixed timeline. How did you feel about how they executed that?
So, yeah, I felt that them introducing the alternate timelines was... like, really, that was such a cool thing, I thought. I've always kind of been fascinated with, like, the idea of, like, alternate universes. And to add that on top of the time travel, which is already fascinating enough, I was just like, oh my gosh, it's like Inception, but more Inception-y, honestly. And I think because, like, the second season was kind of, like, building up to, like, this pretty big event that was going to happen. And then they suddenly kind of just throw that in there, and you're just like, oh my gosh, what's this third season going to have now? It's hard enough as it is to keep up with everything. And you got, not only do you have the time travel element, but then you got the alternate universe element. It's just like, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I got a little concerned when the second season ended with that sort of an announcement. And I was like, oh no. Is this going to become too much? It was brought into the fold properly, and it made sense, and it wrapped it all up in a nice little bow.
Yeah, I was too cautiously optimistic for this season, because you got 8 hours to explain how you somehow have folded in alternate realities into this fixed timeline that is already complex while having so many characters to wrap up their conclusion to. And I found, with their handling of the alternate timeline, I started off very confused, but it made sense when they got to the second to last episode, and I felt like that journey was worth it.
Oh, yeah, and I noticed some people on social media pointed out, after I finished watching the show and I kind of was finally able to go on and kind of look at spoilers and spoiler talk and everything. I'm not going to do any spoilers right now, but some people did kind of bring up that there are some kind of visual clues to indicate whether they're in our current timeline, essentially, versus the alternate timeline, such as sometimes it had flipped images, which I did not realize. So I thought that was kind of a really cool little visual touch they apparently had.
Oh, yeah. Everything, it seemed to have been mirrored.
Outside of that, I'm going to kind of segue into final thoughts. But first, did you guys have any issues with the season as a whole without spoiling anything?
I think the only thing I probably would have wished a little bit is like maybe extra episode or two to like kind of explain some extra things. Because as you mentioned, there is like a lot to take in with this show. But then on the flip side, I'm like, but then it would have been just an additional episode to take in a lot more stuff that would have been kind of like, whoa. So I think overall, I think it was a pretty good, because I think it was about 8 episodes, I believe. So that wasn't too bad, ultimately. And they did seem to do a pretty good job of, like, kind of bringing most storylines, you know, kind of finishing most storylines and concluding all those and kind of wrapping things up.
At times, I felt that they weren't challenged enough by what they felt they needed to do to fulfill certain fates. And it was just, do what I say. And they did it, and that was enough.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough direction from fate itself.
Most of my issues are issues that I've had with the show completely. And with a show this great, a lot of these are just mainly nitpicks. But my main issue is the character of Adam, who is Jonas, which I can say because I told y'all to get the fuck out if you haven't seen season two. I never truly got to the point where I bought that they were the same person, mainly because a lot of his character development is off screen. And with a character suddenly becoming the bad guy, sure, you have shows like Breaking Bad that are a great example of how you can do that over a long period of time. But you also have shows like Fargo, where you have a character that you root for, and then after 4 episodes, they're completely irredeemable. And I never felt like I got that with Jonas. It just always felt like he was at odds with himself. And most of the motivation for that is to do with, oh, this has always happened, so I must be a dick to you.
Yeah, I think that probably could have maybe been fixed a little bit more had there been like maybe an extra episode to spend a little bit more time with that. Because I think they really only had like... maybe like one episode where they sort of addressed it, kinda, but they didn't really get too deep into it. Essentially, it was just kind of like, oh yeah, here's some scenes to kind of show you a little bit about it, but that's kind of it.
Yeah, they teased like how it would eventually happen, and then it's happening was a throwaway line from someone else.
We have so much to talk about.
I'm like tap dancing around actually saying anything.
Yeah, I was about to say, we have so much to talk about in spoilers.
Just tiptoeing through the tulips.
Lexi, what was your final thoughts on the season?
My final thoughts? I thought it was a very satisfying end to the season. Granted, in some ways I kind of wished maybe things had been a little bit different, but I think I knew in a lot of ways that it was probably going to end in the way it did. And I think it was a very satisfactory ending for the story it was telling, you know, and it's called Dark. So it's not like everything's butterflies and rainbows in this show, of course, you know, but I think overall, I think it did a pretty good job of wrapping up the story, wrapping up all the loose ends, or at least as many as they could. I think it's one of the best science fiction shows that's come out, like, in recent years, to be totally honest. If you love, like, shows that, like, kind of challenge you a little bit, or science fiction, or hard sci-fi, or, I mean, if you have ever seen the movie Primer, you'll absolutely love this movie, or, I mean, this show. Yeah, I think overall, I think it's a beautiful show. I think even if you're not into foreign language films or TV shows, I still recommend it. They do offer a English dub version, which I don't really recommend. I really think the best experience, of course, is watching it in the original German. But I think overall, it's easily one of the best shows that Netflix has right now. And I think everybody should go watch it. Though it may not be for everybody, I will say that. Some people, you know, if you're not really the type of person that just wants to kind of be challenged or like actually focus on a show, like if you just want to have something kind of casual in the background, this show is not for you.
What's your ranking?
I think I'll go for it 10 out of 10 apples. It's one of my favorite shows, honestly, that I've seen in a long time.
Alex?
I was thoroughly satisfied by this show's conclusion. I started to have my doubts at the end of season 2. Because up until that point, it had been so consistent and constantly expanding. While giving you some answers, it would open 3 more doors where you're like, what the hell is going on? And the 3rd season didn't slow that down by any means, but managed to wrap it all up in a neat little bow. And it's probably one of the most consistent shows I've ever watched. There was never any episode where I was like, well, that was a waste. They all would like answer 3 questions you had, and then show you a bunch of things that made you tilt your head. Musical number, and then a bigger question. But I would give it 9 out of 10 ultimate fish bumps.
Yeah, I'm mostly in agreement with you guys. I think this is one of the best time travel stories ever written, hands down. I put it up there with 12 Monkeys. I put it up there with the original Terminator. It's so concise. My biggest issue with the show is I felt like a lot of the character development was thrown at the wayside, but as you see with a show like Lost, where it mainly abandoned its mythology to satisfy the character of it all, you end up losing the fan base, and I think the fan base is gonna love this ending. On the whole, this season and this show, I would give it 8.5 rocks used to smash family members.
Oh my gosh.
Or people. people in general. It happens a lot in the show.
Yeah, I kind of just wondered, I'm like, where are all these giant rocks coming from? My gosh.
All right, so we are going into spoiler section. That was a bad German accent. We're going to spoiler section, guys. My boy Bartos, he was like the key to a lot of things going forward in that timeline.
There was a lot of people that were more important than I realized kind of going in. Like, honestly, I was just like, wow, so this person was way more important than this person that I initially thought was going to be way more important. Regina, for example, I was just like, what? She's like the key to a lot of these things? I was kind of mind blown because she was always a really good character in the first few seasons, but I didn't realize that she would be quite as important as she ended up being.
I should honestly just say, who is your favorite character?
Ooh, that's kind of hard.
Give a top 3.
Honestly, I really liked Noah, because he starts off as being like kind of one of the first main mysterious characters you start kind of getting in the series. And then you kind of realize that his, like, role in it is maybe not as big as you may have thought, but I still really enjoyed his, I really enjoyed, like, his character development in his, even though he still kind of had a sad end, and he wasn't exactly a good guy at by any means, but, like, when you start understanding his motivations, you're just like, oh, wow, okay.
I gotta go with Claudia as mine. Just when I thought we, like, had seen the most of her badassery, she ended up just being the person who was playing 3D chess while everybody else is playing checkers.
I really love Claudia. But Aegon Tiedemann is an incredibly interesting character. He's, like, constantly almost on the cusp of knowing all the time about time travel. And then not until, like, the last moments of his life does he, like, it is true.
Aegon was my favorite for a while until Claudia took that dive into being way more interesting than she started. I guess I got to get out of, like, fan posting and being like, who's your favorite character?
Who did you feel was the most tragic character?
All of them.
I was about to say.
Who got rolled by fate the hardest?
Every single person.
More so than anybody else, Katarina. We got halfway through that episode and we were like, man, if this show gets any darker, I can't watch another episode today. And then it just goes up to like a million with Katarina's mother just killing her and then beating her afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, geez, her poor daughter. And, you know, somebody mentioned something really interesting. So after she, like, beats her daughter up and she throws the body in the lake, apparently some people brought up a mention from, I think it was the first season or second season, where they're, like, swimming in the lake and Bartosz is like, hey, do you see, like, you know, sometimes they say you can see, like, her dress or her, you know, the lady on the bottom of the lake. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's so bad.
It also explains where that necklace, like, when they found the necklace on the beach in the earlier seasons as well, that's where the necklace came from because Katarina had dropped it.
Yeah, that
necklace has a strange path.
We haven't gotten to talk about this. We probably should address this. There is more incest in this show than the whole of Game of Thrones.
Without anyone, like, realizing it either, which is probably the saddest, but kind of also, like, yeah, more disturbing aspects, I would say. Like, no one actually... Because, like, I remember the first season, it was, like, already a mind blow when you're like, oh, wow, Mikkel is Jonas's dad, but, like... Mikkel is like, it was kind of such a, like a mind bender. You're just like, oh my gosh. But
yeah, and then he's like, huh, Marta.
Yeah, and then it starts getting like more and more confusing. Like then you find out like with, oh my gosh, what was her name? The police captain, or one of the, or not the police captain.
Oh, Charlotte.
But, like, yeah, Charlotte.
She was one of my favorites.
Yeah, I love Charlotte, but you're just kind of like, wait, she's like, that was such a loop-de-loop of hers, that she ended up being, like, her own...
Grandmother?
Yeah, like, own grandmother or something. I'm like, what? Like, I'm trying to even just connect it in my head. I'm like, hang on. So, like, her daughter ends up being her mother. What?
It was a bootstrap.
Yeah, it was, like, quite, like, the ultimate... She is the ultimate paradox. And that's just one of the... That's just one of one of the main things. In fact, I think we should probably bring up the additional three and or one... new character that we see a lot in this season that wasn't in they weren't in the previous seasons. The I guess in the credits they always listed them as the unknown. The characters, they had like the lip mark and they were going around causing pure chaos essentially.
Yeah, we should talk about the big bad of this season. The nameless trio of the younger, middle-aged and older version of what turns out to be Martha and Jonas's, sorry, German pronunciations, son with the cleft palate, except it is alternate Martha, or as she is known as, Eve. And how did you guys feel they did as villains?
I don't know. I in a way, I feel like they could have been used even more. Like, it was kind of just like the explanation of, like, they're the origin. Like, that's the term they kind of use. And I'm like, in a way, I kind of wish we saw them a bit more, because it's like, you don't even really get any scenes of, like, you know that Marta is pregnant, but you never really see, like, any of, like, the actual pregnancy nor her giving birth or kind of, like, how they come to be. I guess the implication is that the older version of Eva, it's like kind of the more German pronunciation, I guess, may have, like, taken care of them and been like, go follow my plan to keep the world or this not going, essentially. In fact, we should probably also talk about kind of the ultimate game plan for, like, both the, I guess, two kind of main villains, which is, like, Adam and Ava.
Yeah, alternate Jonas and alternate Martha. Well, I guess it would be regular Jonas. It's regular so Jonas. Hard
there
with all
no
of
There is no alternate
them.
Jonas. In the alternate universe, there is no Jonas.
I found it really funny when Justin and I, because poor Justin kind of came in to, like, the show, like, in the middle and had zero idea what was going on. It was kind of funny. He's just like, what is happening? But, like, we were watching it, and both him and I also watched this show called My Hero Academia, if any anime fans out there. And I kind of, like, mentioned in passing, I'm just like, hey, is it just me, or does, like, Adam kind of remind me of, like, All for One or something? And he's just like, oh my gosh. The bald, wrinkly face.
I thought he looked like Darth Vader when his mask comes off at the end of Return of the Jedi.
We should probably discuss, because we brought it up earlier before we got in the spoiler section. So they sort of just explain, I thought we were going to get a scene with Adam having his hair stricken by fire or something, or, you know, something to explain his burnt face. But it's sort of just passed off in dialogue as, like, time travel has done its path on him. And I'm like,
yeah, I kind of wish they'd done, like, an actual scene, too. I wish it could have seen, like a burn or something.
Yeah, I'm right? like... But like, what about Claudia? Like, she's time traveling, like, every day.
Yeah, she's time traveled more than anyone else. She goes back and forth between realities, pretending to be two different Claudias.
She's just that cool. That's just Claudia. She's just that awesome. She doesn't have to be affected by it.
Oh, she's a badass.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it just, his character development, I never really ever got to the point where I was like, okay, this is why he's evil. I understand now.
At one point, they show his Tesla coil zap his arm, and that gets a burn, and you go, okay, so that's going to happen later. No. Then later, Bartosz is like, he's not going to look like you remember. Time travel has been hard on him.
Even the burns don't really bother me as much as just his overall character development bothers me, but... As a whole, I never found Jonas to be that compelling of a character. He's a solid lead, and I think the actor does what he can with him. I just, you know, if you're picking a show of so many interesting characters, you'd expect for your main central character to be a lot more compelling.
Yeah.
No, I totally understand that.
I thought we were going to get our Anakin, something traumatic happens, becomes Darth Vader moment, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, he sort of goes from being your protagonist who's just... I refuse to end up like Adam. Then, like, time jump. I am Adam now. Let me choke out my mother.
And then... He's like, I don't care anymore. Life is hard. It's going to be bad now.
It kind of aggravated me. We should definitely talk about the Tan House.
Oh, yeah.
Twist, should you say. So Tan House, as we all know, the guy who runs the clock store, we find out that the whole of both universes are because his child died and he tried to create time travel to save his child. In a way, he does, and he will never know it. I always found that to be probably the strongest aspect of the finale.
Oh, yeah. And I was definitely a little bit surprised in some ways, but in some ways not. Because I kind of expected there was going to be some other explanation as to how, like, to essentially defeat the time travel loop and everything, because, you know, throughout most of the season, everyone's kind of focusing on the origin, you know, which is, you know, Marta and Jonas's son. But I kind of felt that was, like, what do you call it, like a red herring or something to kind of throw at the audience and be like, this is right, isn't it? And it's like, no, of course it's not. You know, I was definitely expecting it to be something different, kind of like this. I just didn't expect it to be this, essentially. But I thought it was a really great twist. I think it was in the second to last episode, where you get the scene, I believe it's the opening scene with Townhouse explaining the theory of Schrodinger's cat. And I was just like, what are they setting up here, you know? And I thought that was a really great thing to add in.
Yeah, I thought, personally, I found the ending to be very strong as a whole. My biggest issue with it, and this is almost like a nitpick, I feel like the actual moment when Marta and Jonas fade away is such a great bookend to the show that I felt like the little epilogue at the end was kind of unnecessary and a little too cutesy for the show they previously had, you know?
I don't know. I actually really enjoyed that little bookend because I also think it kind of explains to you that, like who ends up technically being from the original world or the origin world, as they call it. I also think it was kind of a great, because, I mean, Claudia becomes kind of, like, unexpectedly, like, one of the ultimate kind of main characters in a lot of ways, so you don't always see her all the time, but she becomes so vital to the story, and it turns out that she's the one that discovers the origin world and everything, and she is the one to finally kind of break the loop and get Jonas and Marta to actually go and break the loop. And I kind of felt like their ending, I think, was great, like where they kind of just fade away and get Thanos snapped, essentially. But then I thought it was really satisfactory to see, like, Regina be really happy, because I know that was such an important thing to, like, Claudia. And so I think it was kind of a good bookend for Claudia's end of the story as well. Plus, I thought it was really fascinating to kind of see, like, who technically survived, essentially, from the world. You kind of don't realize until you see that table scene where you're just like, wow, yeah, that family tree really was quite insane. When you look at all the people at the table, you're like, that's not that many.
And the people who are left behind are a strange bunch to be in a room together.
Yeah, I think I was fine with it up until the point where it's like, I have a son, have you decided the name? I think I'm going to name him Jonas. Just seemed a little eye-rolly for me. As a whole, I think the show's fantastic. It's definitely one of the best sci-fi shows ever made. But the epilogue after the conclusion, while it was good to an extent, I didn't feel like I needed it.
I thought it was a pretty great send-off, honestly. I think it was it wasn't too much either. I thought it was like kind of just as long as it needed to be. You know, just kind of being like, hey, this is what the origin world is now. Plus, I think it kind of implies that the other characters may have left an imprint on the origin world. We just don't know how yet, necessarily. And it kind of, I think it leaves lots of the imagination still, giving you just a hint of information about the origin world that we really didn't know much about originally anyway. And so, I don't know. For me, I personally loved it, but...
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know what else we can say about this. The show just is so dense. By the end of it, you feel like your son is your grandfather. And you're suddenly your own mother's father from another world. Ah.
And the fact that they didn't even know half of that either. I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, they're not intentionally doing any of this. Really, most of them.
I will say, the amount of lies that everybody's complicit in over time and space, it's just like, I couldn't even keep track of them. How can you guys?
I always found it kind of funny whenever, like, the characters ended up believing what another character said. I'm like, if I was in this world, I wouldn't trust anybody at this point. No one. You're all lying, some way or another, trying to get something, you know?
I didn't know who to trust until, like, the last 12 minutes. It reminded me of actual Thanksgiving.